Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday, and welcome to this edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com. And tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Tonight's topic, the amazing and overlapping ministries of the prophet Daniel and the apostle John in the revelation of the end times. Many Christians, when attempting to navigate the oftentimes murky waters of the book of Revelation, they start out strong but soon get discouraged when trying to decode what they're reading. Fortunately, your King James Bible is ready to help you crack the code, and it does that through the book of Daniel. Daniel is the key that unlocks Revelation, and it does so in spectacular fashion. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." On this episode of Rightly Dividing, yes, we have studied Daniel before, and we have studied Revelation a lot before, but tonight we are going to try to merge these two books to see if we can make a single book out of what we read here. And guess what? We can get pretty close to accomplishing that due to the complementary and overlapping nature of the two books. Daniel was a man in the dispersion. John was a man in exile. Daniel was given visions and the visitation from angels. John was taken up of the Spirit and shown visions. Both Daniel and John lived under the rule of men who qualify as types of Antichrist. Both men were supernaturally protected as they ministered. Both men witnessed end times events that are still future as you're listening to me right now. And both men prophesied of the Jews in the tribulation. Daniel, he was told to seal up his book of prophecy until it was time. Revelation opens a seven-sealed book and says, "It is time." At the end of Revelation, a man who looks a whole lot like Daniel shows up for a little Bible study with John, and when they do, the command to seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand, is given. Wild, crazy, off the charts, you better believe it. And that's exactly where we're going to go tonight. So glad that you are here with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up today and putting food on the table, clothes on our back, and a roof over our head. We thank you, God, for a preserved, written word that we can access anytime we want. And we can learn about the past, the present, and, of course, the future. And tonight, like we do each and every time, we invite you to meet with us once again by way of radio and lead us and guide us into all truth. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, happy Sunday, everybody. Glad that you are here. We've been having a fantastic week on this end. Thursday was my 33rd anniversary of salvation. Friday was my earthly birthday. And the Lord is just so good to me. He is so good to us. And we are just in awe of what he does. We had a great Sunday service at Bethany Baptist Church today, and with each passing Sunday, we're getting more and more NTEBers coming in to fellowship with us, and it's only going to be another week or two, and we are going to be setting up the cameras, we're going to be setting up the live broadcasts, and we are working very, very hard to bring you your Sunday service. And that's what we are attempting to do right now. So please keep us in your prayers. And if you find yourself in St. Augustine or Jacksonville and you want to come and fellowship with us, we invite you to come to Bethany Baptist Church. It's on County Road 208 in St. Augustine, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, and Sunday school is 10 a.m., and Sunday service is 11 a.m., and we invite you to come and be part of what God is doing at Bethany Baptist Church. And you know what you would find if you were to come and visit with us? You would find that Now the End Begins is there. And this is not instead of our online ministry. This is a complement to. This is in addition to. So we invite you to come to Bethany Baptist Church any Wednesday, any Sunday, and come and fellowship with us. Many of you have been doing that, and it's been a really, really good time so far. And I have multiple windows open, as you can tell, but there is the Sunday service from today. Please go and take a listen to that when you get a chance to do that. And, oh, I put the image in the wrong place. Hold on just one second. And this is the service times for Bethany Baptist Church. Steve says, I'm missing the Sunday morning service. And God is bringing it to a new place, but we're not getting rid of it. And God is just, he is continuing to expand our borders and enlarge our coasts and give us more and more people to preach to. And I love that NTEB is going along for the ride at Bethany Baptist Church. So check out what we're doing on YouTube. And if you find yourself in the St. Augustine area, please come and fellowship with us. We would love to have you. As we have said many times before, Now the End Begins is not a church. We are the church. Welcome to church.
It's time for us to face the fact that for decades we've ruined our name. Just look around us, it's easy to see that we share the blame. It's on you.
Each of us are hurting, but we have all been called to carry the message to this human race. Our message is love. Our anthem is grace. It's time we remembered who we are.
This is the church. I am a part. Its doors are open. Come as you are. We know no boundaries. There are no stars. If you are broken, come see God's heart. If you
Wesleyan Campground in Fairmount, Indiana, where folks have come to camp meeting for over a century. Come on in. Join the fun.
Long ago when but a boy at old camp meeting time,
I my heart did leap for joy to hear the old bells chime, calling all the saints of God into the house of prayer. Oh, such praying, singing, shouting, for the Lord was there.
I like the old
singing, shouting.
I like the old time reading of God's word. I like to hear those
old time hallelujah story.
I like the old time worship of the Lord.
Preachers in those good old days were filled with holy flame, preaching for the souls of men and not for worldly fame.
Under such old-fashioned preaching, sinners knelt to pray.
And the Lord would save them in that good old-fashioned way.
I like the old-time preaching,
praying, singing.
Sure. I like the old-time reading of God's Word. I like to hear the old-time hallelujah story.
And speaking of the old-time, old-fashioned camp meeting out in the woods, we are just a couple of months away from our fourth annual NTEB camp meeting weekend that's taking place, Lord willing, May 17th through the 19th, with the actual camp meeting day being Sunday the 19th. If you are interested in attending that event, you must register. Go to nowtheendbegins.com and click on any of the graphical links for the registration page. It's completely free. Doesn't cost anything. All you have to do is get here. And when you do get here, man, oh man, we're going to have some good old-fashioned preaching. Brother Aaron Mathias from CPR Missions, he's going to be preaching and letting us know what he's been seeing out in the streets as him and his wife and daughter travel across the country with the ministry that God has given them. And we financially support CPR Missions. We 100% believe in the work that they're doing. It is just an amazing thing that God is doing with CPR Missions. And Aaron is going to be one of the preachers this year. Also, Chaplain Steve Harrington from the Ader County Jail in Stillwell, Oklahoma. He's going to be giving us an update. I'm sorry. I said Aaron Mathias. It's Aaron McMahon. Forgive me, Aaron. I know you're listening. Aaron McMahon, his wife Teresa and daughter Destiny from CPR Missions. And Chaplain Steve Harrington from the Ader County Jail in Stillwell, Oklahoma. And he's going to give us an update on the revival that has broken out since we sent them Bibles last year. And, of course, Brother Roy Bell from the Open Door Bible Baptist Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. He's coming out to spend the weekend with us, and he's going to preach to us on Camp Meeting Sunday. And if you want good old-fashioned music, fellowship, barbecue, and good old gospel preaching, well, come to our camp meeting. Go to nowtheendbegins.com and sign up, and you'll be very, very glad that you did. In just a couple of minutes, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to go into our time of prayer and praise. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, post it into the chat room, and we'll be happy to add it to the list and lift it up to the Lord together. And looking forward to that in just a few minutes.
I wonder if you know him. Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my King? The Bible says he's a King of the Jews. He's a King of righteousness. He's a King of the ages. He's a King of heaven. He's a King of glory. He's a King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my King. Well, no barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's my King. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Do you know my king? Well, my king is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a gateway of glory. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do you know him? Well, he's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm come to tell you, the heavens of heaven cannot contain him, let alone a man explaining him. You can't get him out of your mouth. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king. Yeah! Do you know him? He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And he's the lord of lords. That's my king. Yeah!
Trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal right and fast, and the saints of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder on the land. When the roll is called up yonder.
camaraderie there.
Said, stand to your feet. We'll start with a prayer. If you have a need, let it be heard, saints, let it be known. We're all family, and you're not alone. But that's when he saw her in the back of the church, her silence and sadness. Cried out the hurt, the kind shepherd knew just what to say. I need to know before we pray. An unspoken request.
Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden? You can't share a need in your life.
Just lift up your hand to the one who can give you rest. Child, have no fear.
Our God can hear
an unspoken request. Well, the preacher whispered as she raised her hand, sweet Holy Spirit, come by her and stand. When her tears started flowing, he had no doubt that in the throne room of heaven, her secret was out. An unspoken request.
Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden you can't share? A need in your life?
Just lift up your
hand to the one who can give you rest.
Child, have no fear.
Our God can hear
an unspoken request. Child, have no fear.
Our God can hear
an unspoken request.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your book. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit, for your son, for yourself. And Lord, in Philippians chapter 4, you tell us how to pray. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord alway. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And tonight, Lord, we come before you and we pray for lost souls. We pray for Sarah and Eric and Becky Jacobs, Greg and Melissa Price, Glenn Clark, in Jeanette's family, Cheyenne, Bridget, Tony, Dion, Matthew, Samuel, and two great grandbabies. We're praying for Trista and Tara, Trevor, Derek, Adam, Roland, Carrier, and their families, my brothers John and David, Jesse and his mom, Rachel's dad, Ralph, unsaved Catholic family members of the Bolton family, Jordan Shapiro, David Peck, in the Weirs-Bickey family, Valerie and Marie, and Greg Sr. and Greg Jr., Jeffrey's children, Tyler Tevin, daughter-in-law Caitlin, and grandsons Logan, Ronnie, and Russell. Jeanette and Bob's unsaved Catholic family members, Connie's three unsaved kids, Brandy, unsaved family, Rita in Colorado praying for Dan, Ron, Spray of Sunshine's sons, Daniel, Patrick, and Brian, Shannon praying for Lori W. and Brian M., Jan Lacker's son, David. Bonnie says, please pray for my five children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Barbara would like prayer for Robert, Naomi, Blake, Alex, Ethan, Raquel, Janet, and Chandel. Nicole Zimmer praying for her best friend and family, the Meads and the Cooks. Cheyenne praying for Barry K., Terry C., Alan G., Melody, Nick, Beth, Ethan, and Haley. Karen's children, Jason and Tiffany. Grandchildren, Summer, Austin, and Emmett. Barbara's son, Jody. Mark Sherlock praying for Savannah and her mom, Stephanie. Junie, Grant, and their dad for salvation. Kathy Hughes' son, Haley C., praying for Zane. Lulu, unsaved family. Miles and his family need to be saved. Many members of the Giacomino family. Dawn D. praying for David. Paul Caulfield for his father-in-law, Frank. Ramona Hayes praying for daughter Kimberly to be saved and delivered from alcohol. Also, salvation prayer for grandchildren William, Jason, David, and Amanda. Patrick praying for Jack and Aaron. Chelsea P. for her ex-husband, his parents, his sister, and her husband. Adam's wife, Shayna, Lori B. Shira McPherson, please pray for my children, Scott, Sherry, and Nicole, to be saved. Lori Ann's grandfather, Irvin. Mark Fennell. Kevin Thompson praying for his dad, Tim. Steve Graves, Elga, Rob, praying for his three kids, Max, Olivia, and Mikey. Phyllis T. for her husband. Retired Captain Brian A. Robbins, Thad Broom, Marie's friends, family, Ashley, Dayton, Alyssa, Kyle, Brandon, Grace, Micah, and Macy. Adam and Katie praying for parents, sisters, and other family members. Joe Russiello for his mom, sister, granddaughters, and in-laws. Ellen praying for her grandsons, Braden and Logan. His Grace would like salvation prayer for Rob, Summer, Sue and Mike, Carl, Jason and Rachel, and Jason and Carrie. Lola's son William and his wife Lindsay, Hannah's mom. Anja praying for Hanu, John Charles, and Anna Lilsa. Dave Evans praying for his friend Taylor. Viviana for her brother Javier Reyes. Adam and Katie for neighbors Jason, Eddie, and Brian. Loretta Oates for her sons Kenny and Matthew. Jane praying for her son Troy. Julie Lynn for her friend Katie Ann. Chona praying for Estefano Jr., Eugenia and her kids, Maricel and Cherry, and her siblings, Julia and Maria Tricia. Chuck Edgerton praying for his son Jacob and mom Lynette. Samantha praying for Beth, Deborah Hare, unsaved family members, as does Rita, Teresa, Lisa, Annabelle, all with unsaved family members, Don, Huff, Claire, and Virginia, Hap Nightingale for his sons Jimmy and Zach, Deborah Milton's son Billy. Norman Merkel for daughter Kara, granddaughter Ava, son-in-law Stephen Matthews, and Lynette Crew. Henrique Larson for his parents Kygel and Elizabeth, his sister and her spouse Ingrid and Frederick, and his mom's Aunt Barrett. Roz would like salvation prayer for lost family members, as does Marisol Barcina, Rapture 57. Who else? Brian needs to get saved. Gail praying for Jim. Shirley Meador for her brother and his wife. Eric Brian Huey for his parents Anna and Norillo, members of his family and co-workers. Tony the Carpenter and his son Cole. Kenny B. has unsaved family, as does Rachel K., Sandra C., Marky Mark. The Breida family. Regina Danner for Kellyanne, Richard, Wayne, and Sandra. Carol from Georgia for her sister, cousins, and Aunt Joey. Stacy Bunton praying for her husband. Rachel Adams for Kim, Jesse, Angelina, Carrie, Mikey, Alyssa, and Stan. Ashley for salvation and to overcome addiction. Mark for his sons, Michael, Matthew, Mason, and daughter, Michaela. Mitch praying for his daughters Rachel and Hannah and their husbands. The delivery workers who service the bookstore, they need to get saved. Jericho for his family, Brenda's husband Paul. Kenny for friends and family. Amanda praying for Melanie and Payton. The Muto family, Steph praying for Michael, Terry for her family. Xavier, please pray for my mother Reyes, wife Salma, and other family members. Mark Silva would like salvation prayer for her Jehovah's Witness family. Donna Lynn, her children, Shannon, Todd, Kaylin, and Jake. Tiffany Brown for her mother-in-law. The LaPiana family, salvation prayer for extended family members. Dave Evans for his friend Diana. Sue Duchesne for son Norman, CJ's mom. Shira Shine for Kevin, Michelle, and Lewis. Loretta Watsney's husband and children. Rebecca Lynn for Joel Smith. Shirley is praying for Marie, Haley, Patricia, Jaden, Richard, Patricia S., Joshua, Ruby, Gerald, Josiah, Moniz, and her husband Hamid. Marianne Ellie's children, John, Anne Marie, and Christine, as well as grandchildren, Sophia, Jacob, David, and Katrina. Tracy and Ralph Wallace for son-in-law Ethan, daughter Shanna, and grandson Caden. Beth Peck asking prayer for her husband David, as well as her children Heather and Damien and other family members. Terry Ewing's daughter Bryn, Teresa M.'s sons James, Frank, and Peter. Jose De La Rosa's mother Alicia, Patricia T. for her son Adam. Chelsea and Brian Plagman for their son Bryce and girlfriend Eva. Zuzana, Vladimira's husband Ken and her friend Katka. Steph praying for her brother Michael. Cassandra for husband Todd and for children Nathan, Andrew, and Sonny. Marie Sim for her ex-husband. Salvation prayer for her son John, daughter Tracy, and their families. Jean-Paul Mesa for his Catholic mom, Deborah Mack, for John and Brenda. Zach Jeffson's mom for salvation, Katrina. Chelsea P. for Mike T. Mia in Texas for children, Kimberly, Danielle, and AJ. Holly for her husband, Nick. Ron for his friend, Eddie. Deborah Mack for Brandy. Char for her mom. Linda for Richard Kitzmiller. Heather W. for daughter, Sophia. Carly Hamill says, I have family in Maine, California, and in the Congo. Please pray for my family to get saved. Angela Moffitt, my 22-year-old son, Matthew. Brooke, my best friend, Courtney, and her husband, James, need to get saved. Please add them to the list. Veronica Higginbotham, salvation prayer for younger son Gustav Isgrig. He is lost in Norse mythology religion. Amen. Amen. That's about 200 names on that list. All right, let me catch my breath. And people who need a healing today. Lori Ann for her mom, my mother-in-law, Joyce. Krista has multiple tumors in her chest. Jason Stravers continues to recover from recent surgery. Mike Hensel's mom is still in the hospital. She is still on life support in the ICU. So please put Mama Hensel at the top of your list. Gail says Katie needs a liver transplant. Christy Ireland, she is one of our ladies who are expecting, and she is having problems. She just passed 35 weeks. Tomorrow it will be 36 weeks. And she's having all sorts of issues. So please pray for her, the baby, and the doctors that she'll get a good report. Linda says that my friend Mary's husband, Tom, is in the hospital with blocked arteries. And he had his surgery a week ago. And I don't see it here, but she did send a praise report. And so we're very, very happy to update you with that. Rick Reynolds, please pray for my daughters, Carrie, Abby, and Grace, and grandbaby, Lilia. Amanda Emaw, battling cancer and chemo. Annetta needs a complete healing after having a stroke. Marcia Swanson has myalgic encephalomyelitis. George H. for health issues. James Rivette, recovering from addiction and mental health issues. Robert Wiley, battling ALS disease. Jill Puckett is losing her vision. Paul Caulfield, type 1 sugar diabetes. Ron Alliston has cancer. Brooke Kettlecamp has autism. Dan Kane, please pray for my wife Roxy with MS and for son Jonathan. Rob's friend Mike has MS. Travis Karulik's wife Ida has cancer. Mark Seals, numerous health issues. Roz, asthma and scoliosis. Maddie Luck has Lewy body dementia, and her daughter Michelle has fibromyalgia and neuropathy. Tracy, please pray for me. I have severe arthritis in my spine, diabetes type 2, and a fatty liver. Rob Beatty, battling stage 4 cancer. Michelle Christian, battling stage 4 cancer. Melissa B., please put my husband Brian on the list with stage 3 kidney disease. Ricky Gouda's daughter Norcia continues to recovery from thyroid surgery and is praying for a good report from the doctor. KC is a woman with lupus and kidney issues. Jane, please pray for my brother and parents to get saved and for my husband to have a healing. Jackie H., please pray that God would give me favor regarding custody of my son. Vladimir's friend Katka suffers from ALS. Dave Evans' friend Manuela has vasculitis. Stacy, going through a divorce and needs wisdom. Terry Horn, I've had several strokes and now need a walker. Casey, please keep my husband on the list. He is unsaved and a severe alcoholic. Tom Rantz continues to get better after having a stroke and a brain bleed last December. Julius, please continue to pray for Mom Erlinda and niece Rochelle for medical and health issues. In Jeanette's family, her sister Kathy, recovering from a number of previous injuries, also eye surgery. Her husband Robert and Aunt Linda have macular degeneration. Wayne needs prayer for cancer. Ashley DeShields continues to recover from West Nile virus. Teresa G., prayer for her eyesight. She has macular degeneration. Shira Shine says, miracle breakthrough with the family. Please continue to pray for my children's salvation. Amen. Linda Benjamin, prayer for overall health and memory problems. Berta and Mike Crabb have health issues. Irma needs a prayer for healing. She has tumors on her bladder. Gerard from Australia, his sister-in-law, Nikki. She has lung cancer. She took the vaccine, and things are not going well. Nikki lives in Cape Town, South Africa. She needs a healing, and she needs to get saved. Regina Danner, healing for Wayne and Linda. Ron, please pray for my friend Jay having surgery. Ashley DeShields. Here it is. An update on West Nile virus. There has been some improvement, but because it got into my central nervous system, it is difficult to recover. There has been some very slow but steady improvement in recovering from some of the other issues. And she says, I credit all that to the prayers of my NTEB family. Amen. We are so very happy to lift you up. Wade Thiessen, please add Pastor Tom McDonald from Shererville, Indiana. He is still having dizziness and face tingling. His doctor has ordered another CT scan to see if they can figure it out. Ladies who are expecting, Christy Ireland with various complications, Char's daughter Miranda, Sandra Carbonera's friend Jordan P., Stephanie Juliana, Sarah Ann Severson, and Spray of Sunshine, please pray for my son and his girlfriend who are expecting twins. Also, Mark Saxa would like prayer for his son Joseph to return to the Lord. Sean, please pray that the attorneys will release the funds so I can fix the damage caused by Hurricane Ian to my home. John Walker and his wife, please pray for our gospel ministry, gospel tract ministry. Jan Lacker, son David needs to get saved, son with disabilities to be protected. Her marriage needs prayer, and she needs a healing in her body. Char, still waiting for their jail ministry to be opened. Linda would like her son Stephen to return to the Lord. Julie Baird, prayer for living situation and finances. Deborah Mack for Devin Miller. Lost Lake Lass, please add my son Tristan to the prayer list. He went missing. Linda LaPiana would like prayers for their kids, Stephen, Danielle, and Christopher. Dina Kruger, please pray that my son Jordan will get saved. He is studying in Japan. Please pray for his safety and salvation. Daniel B., now he sent me an update and I don't have it. I apologize for that. I will see if I can get that on by tomorrow for the podcast. But please pray for Daniel B. Karen, please pray for me to have the perfect job at the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. What a great job that would be. People with an unspoken prayer. The LaPiana family, Dave M., Bill and Marilyn, Jeanette, Adrian P. Breda, Debbie Mathias, Rachel Adams, Julius, Dave Evans, Ricky Gouda, Blaine, Jennifer, Carol from Georgia, Ron M., Erad Bairu Mumishu, Bonnie, Marie Comfort, Julie Baird, Amanda Stern, Rob, Steph, Marie C., Julius, Mona and Leah, Angela, Brooke, Linda, Lulu, Linda Pippin, and Andrew. Praise reports. Linda Long says to Jeff and all the NTEB praying family, thank you for all the prayers for my friend Mary's husband, Tom. He had successful triple bypass surgery on Monday. And God bless all of you, and thank you so very much. And we are happy to do it. That's why we have the list. Please remember our free Bible and gospel tract program. I do have an update on that for you. Also, please remember our overseas pastors in the Philippines, Pastors John Ree, Danny, and Arnell. In Vietnam, Pastor Pho John. In Turkey, Luann is an American missionary. In India, Pastor David Mark. In the UK, Stephen McCarroll. In Uganda, Erad Bairu Mumishu. And in Spain, we have Xavier. Please remember our NTEB street preachers. In New York City, we have Brian Kelly. of the King James Bible Baptist Church. In Baton Rouge, we have Kyle and Reagan Gorzel. We have Street Preacher Marie in Philadelphia. Mike Avram is a trucker who leaves Bibles at truck stops. Jay in New York preaches to the LGBTQ. Joe Russiello is a street preacher in Eagle Pass. Joshua Gaskins has a gospel tract ministry in Virginia. And Aaron and Teresa McMahon with CPR Missions in Tennessee. Up in Canada, we have Paul and Peggy Caulfield, Adrian Breda, Werner Bukes. South Africa, Arthur Ewies. And in Australia, we have Henry Biggs and Jennifer Thompson. All right, let's go to the chat room and see what we have. Regina Danner, please pray for comfort for Joy, both adult kids, John and Sandra, and lost people in jail. Joy's heart is broken for they just don't learn. Annabal, please pray for my brother Gerald in the hospital in New York City, possible COVID on dialysis infection in one of his toes. The doctors are talking about an amputation. Please pray for a complete healing. Please pray for my brother David. He has hives and the flu, and he went to the ER on Saturday, and he is battling that pretty hard. Sent me a picture, a scary-looking picture. I don't know what's causing the hives, but it's something. So please pray for him as well. Terry has an unspoken. Steve S., my whole family is unsaved. Daughters, son-in-law, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and all of those who have married into the family, as well as my two brothers. Charlie, granddaughter Julianne having seizures. Pray doctors can find right medication and God can have the glory. If you remember the other day, I think it was on the podcast, we were talking about people who are battling alcohol. And Heath has a little bit of time. Jimmy Hudson has a little bit longer of time. And then Adrian Breda heard that he was listening to that episode. And he said this: I need the NTEB prayer warriors to pray for my victory. I had 34 days of sobriety up until last Thursday, and I decided to throw it all away and drink. Please pray for me. I love you guys. I'll get the victory eventually. Please pray for Adrian Breda up in Canada to get sober. It can be a very hard thing to do, and we are happy. If you struggle with alcohol, please don't struggle in isolation. Reach out to one of us. Book some time to talk with me on the phone. Send us an email. We'll talk with you. We'll meet with you. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. If you struggle, you have a home at Now the End Begins, and we will help you get sober any way we can. Gary says, please pray for my marriage that the Lord would restore it and give me the grace to continue or grant me the grace to move on. Salvation for my brother Johnny and direction for my budding service in ministry. Please pray for Gary's marriage. Michael Bake, please pray for my Catholic friends. David, Jason, Chris, Eric, Noah, and Jake, unbelievers, Ralph, Cousin Samuel, and my brother Johan. Youngest brother Eddie, to read and understand the Bible. Lastly, for many souls who receive gospel tracts during my work travels, and all of my co-workers at Rivian get to receive salvation. Heavenly Father, our list, as usual, is full. Okay, I didn't miss anything. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We lift up these prayers and petitions and supplications to you with thanksgiving. We're so glad that you saved us and so glad that you're listening to our prayer. And now, God, we ask you to rule and overrule in all these situations. Reconfigure all of this for your glory, for our good. The people who need a healing in their body, a healing in their mind, a healing in their spirit. Lord, we ask you to work and move as only you can. And we commit this whole list to you and this time, this Bible study. And we ask you to meet with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, one more song. And when we come back, we have an update for the Bibles Behind Bars program. And we're going to jump right into tonight's Bible study. A little bit of a different look at the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. And we are going to see not just simply that, yes, Daniel is the key that unlocks the book of Revelation. We have gone over that dozens and dozens and dozens of times. But tonight, we're going to look at the overlapping similarities between the two books, the overlapping similarities between the prophet Daniel and the apostle John, and we're going to show you how in the book of Revelation we see Daniel's sealed book get opened up, and quite possibly we see Daniel and John having a little bit of a Bible study together. All that and more. When we come back, don't go away. You're not going to want to miss this.
In sin I was living, no thought was I giving of dying and where I would go. I was looking and buying, so hard was I trying to gain all this world had to hold. No peace and no pleasure could I even measure with all that I had to gain. I repented and prayed, Christ save me that day. Now I have got something to say. I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. Since I've been forgiven, Christ made a real change in me. I'm no longer crying when I think about dying, 'cause heaven is waiting for me. Now Satan's still lying, he's always trying to lead you down the wrong way. Just call on Christ's name, he'll save you today. Then look back to Satan and say, I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
No,
I'm not going to hell. Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell. Because I'm saved by his power divine.
Yes, I'm saved.
I'm saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete. For I'm saved, and I'm not going to hell.
Amen. I hope you're saved tonight, because if you are, you're not going to hell. And if you're not saved, this past Thursday, I celebrated 33 years of being saved. I got saved on John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, you will have everlasting life. And you can get saved on John 3:16 just as easily as you can get saved on anything the Apostle Paul ever wrote. The Gospel of John matches very, very well with everything that Paul wrote. Now, not everything that John wrote matches what Paul wrote, but John's Gospel and the writings of the Apostle Paul are very complementary and very similar. And we invite you, if you're not saved, to put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. You'll be very, very glad that you did. All right, before we get started, just a quick update on the Bibles Behind Bars program. If you were listening on Friday, we kind of went out on a limb a little bit. We got all excited talking about how God has been using these Bibles that we've been sending out for the past couple of years to jails and prisons, immigrant detention centers, and we have sent out so many tens of thousands of Bibles. And we have a list. I'm just going to briefly give you a couple of the names from the list of where we want to send Bibles to. And over the next 14 days, starting tomorrow, we are going to send a total of very close to 3,500 Bibles to the Stone County Regional Correctional Facility, the East Alabama Medical Center, the Sebastian County Adult Detention Center, the Lawrence County Detention Center, the Union Correctional Institution, the St. John's County Jail, the Monroe County Jail, and we already sent Bibles and scripture portions out to Pastor York at the Lakeland Baptist Church in Texas. And I announced on Friday that we need to raise a minimum of $15,000, and we're almost halfway there. What a blessing that is. And we're going to start sending out the Bibles from the bookstore this week. And if you would like to help us to send these Bibles out to Chaplain Alfred, Chaplain Billy, Chaplain Todd, Chaplain Teague, Chaplain Scott, Chaplain Johnson, and the people at Second Chance Ministries in Madisonville, Tennessee, please go to BiblesBehindBars.com and click on the donate link and help us to meet our goal and help us to send Bibles, New Testaments, and scripture portions to every one of the facilities that I just read to you. We get new requests coming in on a daily basis from individuals, from institutions, from jails and prisons and detention centers. And the only way that we can meet that need is you got to help us to do that. I told you that I've been asked to supply the pulpit at Bethany Baptist Church. And they took me off to the side the other day. And they said, "We're very glad that you're coming in here to preach for us. And we're going to pay you for your time." And I thought that was very nice. And I prayed about it. I thanked the Lord for that. And the Lord said, "Why don't you just donate that to Bibles Behind Bars?" So for however long that we're going to be at Bethany Baptist Church, the Lord has put on my heart to whatever they pay me, about $800 a month, I'm going to just donate the whole thing to the Bibles Behind Bars program. And the only way that we can send these Bibles out Everybody has to be praying for this outreach. And if God has prospered you, please go to BiblesBehindBars.com and click on the donate link. I'm donating personally. Lori's, she donates. And we are all in with both feet. And we invite you to come and help us to send Bibles out to all these jails and prisons and detention centers. And as always, thank you very, very much for all your help, your prayer, and support. All right, let's get right into tonight's Bible study. If you're just tuning in, the amazing and overlapping ministries of the prophet Daniel and the apostle John in the revelation of the end times. Let's start out in Daniel chapter, let's see where we want to go here. Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And so here we have, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, who is a type of Antichrist, he comes in and he starts to take a whole bunch of people captive. And let me show you who were some of the captives that went along into this captivity. Daniel 1, 6, and 7. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So it's Daniel and his three Hebrew friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Verse 7 says, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. So, the book of Daniel starts out, he is a eunuch, and they have been taken captive by a person who is a type of Antichrist. Now, keep your finger in Daniel and turn to the book of Revelation and turn to chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. And he says this in verse 3, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, look down in verse 9, Revelation 1, 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So in the book of Daniel, you have Daniel and his buddies who are taken captive by the armies of Nebuchadnezzar, who was a type of Antichrist, and they are carried away to Babylon. In the book of Revelation, you have John, who is an apostle. He's the longest living apostle. And he says this in verse 9, I am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. He says, I was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Daniel was taken away captive. John was banished to an island to try to get rid of him. So I find it very interesting that as we look at the similarities between the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, between the prophet Daniel and the apostle John, is that both of these men, in different ways, were taken to a period of isolation so that God could speak with them. Now, could God have spoken with Daniel without having him carried away to Babylon? Sure he could. Could God have spoken with John without having him banished in exile to the island of Patmos? He could have done that, but he didn't. So, right off the bat, these two things are very, very similar. The next thing that I want to show you, verse 3 of Revelation 1. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Turn to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. And look at the things that are being told to Daniel. Daniel 12:4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And then look down in verses 8 and 9. Daniel 12:8. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Now, turn to Revelation chapter 5. Turn to Revelation chapter 5. And we're setting the table, looking at the prophet Daniel and the apostle John, the book of Daniel, and the book of Revelation. In Daniel chapter 12, he is told to seal this book and to shut up the words even to the time of the end. Well, in Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, we read this. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Now, could this be Daniel's sealed book from Daniel chapter 12? I believe it is. And as we go along, I'm going to show you my reasons why I think that. Revelation 5:2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Now, why is no man anywhere to be found able to open this book? Well, if you listen carefully in Daniel chapter 12, Daniel was told to seal this book up. He was given a commission, he was given a charge, and he was told, close that book, it's not for your time period, it's for the time of the end. Look at Daniel 12, 5 through 7. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the rivers, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. So the reason why no man in Revelation chapter 5 was able to open this book is because Daniel was told to shut the book, to shut up the words, to seal the book. But then, when you listen to what the man clothed in linen had to say, that book was sealed by God himself. Go thy way, Daniel. Daniel 12:9. For the words are closed and sealed to the time of the end. That book was sealed by God himself. And go back to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 3. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So if you read Daniel chapter 12 carefully, you see that Daniel was given a book of prophecy. He was given a vision. He was given a revelation, if you will. And then after he was given all those things, God said, okay, Daniel, now we're going to seal this book up until the time of the end. Well, when John, who is banished just like Daniel is taken prisoner, when John gets his revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it interesting that as he goes from chapter to chapter, he is meeting and encountering some of the very same people that came to speak and to talk with Daniel. The book of Revelation is a very big book. The book of Daniel compared to the book of Revelation is a little bit, I wouldn't say it's a much smaller book, but the book of Daniel is largely centered on what is going to happen to the Jews in the time of Jacob's trouble. And Daniel is living all these different types of the time of Jacob's trouble. He's living them in his daily life. John is living those things in his daily life. Every single emperor and Caesar of the Roman government is a type of Antichrist. Every single pope that has ever risen from the 4th century up to the present day is a type of Antichrist. And so Daniel gets his revelation when he is under the authority of a type of Antichrist. John gets his revelation in the island of Patmos when he is under the authority of a type of Antichrist, the Roman emperor. If you have any questions at this point, please feel free to post them into the chat room. And we'll take some questions as we go. But if there's no questions, let's see what else is similar about the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. Turn to Daniel chapter 7. Turn to Daniel chapter 7. And let's read in Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14. Daniel 7, 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 and look at verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now turn to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. So as Daniel begins to get his revelation, it is very, very similar to the revelation that John gets. Now, because John is an apostle at the start of the church age, the book of Revelation contains a lot of chapters that have very little to do with the Jewish people in the time of Jacob's trouble. Let me show you how the divisions work. The book of Revelation is divided into three main sections. In chapters 1 through 3, we see John's commission from Jesus Christ to write the book, followed by a listing of the seven churches which he mentions by name. These seven churches existed at the time that John wrote Revelation. That's historical. John wrote to seven churches. Paul wrote to seven churches. Many of those churches overlap each other. Paul wrote a letter from the Colossians to the Laodiceans, and he wrote a letter from the Laodiceans to the Colossians, and thus establishing a church age connection to the first three chapters of the book of Revelation. These are seven churches that existed when John wrote it. These seven churches will exist in the time of Jacob's trouble, and they represent seven conditions of the church age over the past 2,000 years. Now, Daniel does not concern himself with any of those things. But when John gets to chapter 4 through 19, now we see the church is raptured up. The church has been taken off the earth. The verses that I read to you earlier from chapter 5, those, I believe, is the opening of Daniel's seven-sealed book. And so from Revelation chapter 4, with the removal of the church, all the way to chapter 19, the start of chapter 19, what do you have? Well, you have something that takes place over a 3.5-year period. Go back to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, and look down in verse 7, Daniel 12:7, and I heard the man clothed in linen which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and an half. A time is 1 year, times is 2 years. 1 year and 2 years is 3 years and a half a year. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Now, turn to the book of Revelation and look at Revelation 11. Revelation chapter 11, look at verse 9. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues of the nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put into the graves. So here we see in Revelation chapter 11 a type of the 3.5-year period. Let me just get this other. I accidentally just closed the window of the verse that I wanted, but turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, and look at this. Verses 13 and 14. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. So we see that everything that Daniel is talking about is being mirrored. It's being echoed in the book of Revelation. They are obviously talking about the same period of time. Turn to Daniel chapter 7 again. Daniel chapter 7, and look down in verse 21. Daniel 7, 21. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. So Daniel, when he's given his visions, he sees that there is a war against the saints of God. Turn to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13, look at verses 5 through 7. Revelation 13, verses 5 through 7. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's the same thing as a time, times, and half a time. Verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And I said all that to say this, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So, if you're one of those people who look at the book of Revelation as being this mysterious book that is hard to figure out, well, it's not that hard to figure out. Now, granted, there are things in the book of Revelation as well in the book of Daniel that only the people living in the time of Jacob's trouble will understand. Not everything is available in every dispensation. But there are things written in both those books that when you get to that time that Jesus says is a time of great tribulation, and you're going to have the things that are going to be the doctrine for that time period, like the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, most of the book of Hebrews, most of the book of James, most of the book of Jude. These things are going to be the doctrine for the people living in that time period. And there are things that will only be understood by people who are alive at the time that those things are taking place. Has that seven-sealed book been opened yet? When we come back, we're going to talk about that. Don't go away.
Shady green pastures, so rich and so free, God leads his children alone. Where the waters cool flow, bathe the weary child feet. He leads his children, leads them alone. Sometimes on the mountain, where the sun shines so bright, God leads his children, leads them alone. Sometimes through the valley, through the darkness of the night, the same God leading those same children along. Some through the water, the fire. But all through the blood, some through great sorrow, but it always give them a song. And it's in the night season, and all the day long. Won't you let him take you through the fire? Let him take you through the flood. Let him take you through the fire. And we all must go through the blood. Won't you let him take you through great sorrow? He'll always give you a song. And it's in the night season. And all the day long. It's in the night season and all day long.
Amen, and we're back for the last half hour of tonight's Bible study. We have a couple questions that came in during the break. First question, do you think that John and Daniel will show up during the time of Jacob's trouble? That's a really good question. I don't know if they are going to show up during the time of Jacob's trouble, but it is a possibility that they are going to have a prominent place in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Where is that? Here it is. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 14. And these are three men that by God's estimation are perhaps the three greatest men in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 14:14. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. And then verse 20 says, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. And Daniel is one of those people that God just singled him out for something very, very special. Now, the same thing applies to the Apostle John. And let me show you. Turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. And look at verse 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. And then look down in verse 20 of John 21. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? So Daniel is a man that was singled out by God for a very special job. John was the disciple, the apostle that Jesus loved with a different type of love than all the other ones. John is a type of the church. and the church, as we know, is the body and bride of Jesus Christ. So the question is, do I think John and Daniel will come back at some point? I think that they absolutely might. You have Moses and Elijah coming back. You have Judas coming back. You have Jesus coming back. A lot of the heavy hitters are making an appearance. It would make sense to have Daniel and possibly the Apostle John showing up to make an appearance as well. Where is Mia says, who are the saints here? And I'm assuming that you were talking about when I said the saints of the Most High. From Daniel 7:21, I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. And then in Revelation chapter 13, we have verse 7. Revelation 13:7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. In every dispensation, you have people that are considered the saints of God. You have Old Testament saints, you have Kingdom Age saints, you have Church Age saints, you have Tribulation Age saints. And in Daniel chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 13, those would be the saints that are going to be there during the time of Jacob's trouble. That is not a reference to church age saints. And I think those were the only two questions. If you have any questions, just post them into the chat room. Now, turn to Revelation chapter 11. Turn to Revelation chapter 11 and look down at the bottom. Look at verses 18 and 19. Well, just look at verses 17 and 18. Revelation chapter 11, verses 17 and 18, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. This is talking about the end of the battle of Gog and Magog in Revelation 20. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged. This is the great white throne judgment. And that thou shouldest giveth reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. So here in Revelation 11:18, you see that at the great white throne judgment, that's the context, God is going to reward the Old Testament prophets, and he is going to reward the Old Testament saints. Now, just for fun, if you were to go to your electronic Bible and type in the word saints, you're getting easily two dozen references, possibly more, talking about the Old Testament saints. A couple of these references have to do with church age saints. A couple of them have to do with tribulation age saints. But Psalm 89:5, and the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Psalm 116:15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Psalm 132:16. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Turn to Acts chapter 7. Turn to Acts chapter 7. Not only do we see saints in the Old Testament, we also see a church in the Old Testament as well. And in Acts chapter 7, let's read verses 37 and 38. Acts chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he, Moses, that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give to us. So, not only do you have Old Testament saints, you have an Old Testament church as well. And part of the problem that we have with so much Bible that we can refer to, we have the entire revelation of God from Genesis 1 all the way up to Revelation 22. And one of the problems that we have as church-age Christians is when we see something that applies to our dispensation, we think, well, that's the way it is throughout the whole book. But it's not. So when the Bible talks about saints, Old Testament, Kingdom Age, Church Age, Tribulation Age, and of course, you're going to have the millennial saints as well. That was some good questions. I hope that answered your question. All right, let's continue. Let's continue. Daniel chapter 3. Let's look at this other similarity. Daniel chapter 3. And let's look at the statue that was made to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather people together, the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Turn to Revelation chapter 13. Turn to Revelation chapter 13. And look down in verse 11 of Revelation 13. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon. This is the false prophet. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had a wound by a sword and did live. So the false prophet is going to want to set up an image, a statue, an idol to the Antichrist, who resurrected 3 days after having the deadly wound with the sword. And in Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, who is one of the strongest types of Antichrist in the entire Bible, he orders a statue of himself to be created, and everybody has to fall down and worship that statue. Go back to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, verse 4. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages." The entire known world is being made to worship this statue of Nebuchadnezzar. And go back to Revelation chapter 13. What does it say? Where is that verse that I'm looking for? The verse that says, "And all the world wondered after the beast." Where is that verse? Verse 3, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." So in Daniel, just like in Revelation, these things are having a global effect. Let me show you something else. This kind of blows you away a little bit. Turn to Jeremiah 27. Jeremiah 27. Look at verse 6. "And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him." Nebuchadnezzar is obviously a type of Antichrist. He wants to be worshipped. He thinks he is a god. He wants to kill the Jewish people. He is also the servant of the Lord. How is that possible? Turn to Isaiah chapter 10. Turn to Isaiah chapter 10. Look in verses 5 and 6. "O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation." Historically, this is Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. Prophetically, this is the Antichrist in the book of Revelation. "I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge, to take the spoil and to take the prey, and to tread them down like in the mire of the streets." So in the book of Daniel, a statue of a type of Antichrist is created, and everyone is ordered to worship that statue. In the book of Revelation, a statue of the Antichrist is created, and everyone in the entire world is ordered to worship that statue. And so these two books go hand in hand in very many places. Now, turn to Daniel chapter 2. Turn to Daniel chapter 2. We don't have time to go into it, but at the start of Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar, it says in verse 1, "And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him." And so he has this dream that he needs somebody to interpret. Daniel is the man who God reveals the secret of this dream to, and then the king, Nebuchadnezzar, is very, very grateful. But look at what happens in verse 46. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. And then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Now, if you spend any time in the book of Daniel, Daniel is a man who was very much in tune with God. He is very much in tune with Scripture. In Daniel 9:2, he is reading the book of Jeremiah, and the angel Gabriel appears to him to give him wisdom and understanding with what he's reading. Daniel is a man that was very familiar with the entire revealed Bible up to that point. And yet, in verse 46, then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel. At that moment, you know what Daniel should have done? He should have said, O king, live forever. But I cannot receive the accolades that you are giving me. There is one God in heaven, and my book says he is a jealous God, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. One of the Ten Commandments. And yet Daniel says nothing. He allows Nebuchadnezzar to worship him. He allows Nebuchadnezzar to give him praise and compliments. He allows Nebuchadnezzar to do all these things, and he never corrects him. He never rebukes him. And then as you begin to turn the pages of the book of Daniel, the very next chapter, the three Hebrew friends of his get thrown into the fiery furnace. And then you get a couple chapters later, and what happens? Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den. Seemingly random and unconnected incidences, but they're not. Turn to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. No, I'm sorry, 21. Revelation chapter 21. No, I think I wanted 22. Yes, I want 22. Revelation 22, verses 6 through 9. And let's see if we can make out the identity of this person that John's talking to. Revelation 22, verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things, just like Daniel saw those things, and heard them, just like Daniel heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Remember what happened in Daniel chapter 2? In Daniel chapter 2, what does Nebuchadnezzar do? Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel. Literally, worshipped Daniel like a god. Revelation 22, verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then he said unto me what he should have said to Nebuchadnezzar, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Daniel finally gets it right. Whoever this person is, he is an Old Testament prophet. He is very much like the Apostle John. He says, hey, I'm just like you. Back when I wrote my book, the book of Daniel, I was given visions and the angels came down, the man clothed in linen, and all these supernatural beings talked with me. When Jesus reached out to the Apostle John, instead of coming down, the Apostle John was brought up. Why was John brought up? Turn to John 14. I'll show you why. John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The reason why John is taken up and Daniel is not is because John is a type of the church. Revelation chapter 4 shows a type of the rapture. John is not waiting for the angels to come down. John is waiting for Jesus to pull him up. And that is the very definition of the rapture of the church. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be ever be with the Lord. Daniel was given a vision of Jesus Christ, but it was a shielded vision. Charlie on the Highway says, was Daniel punished for allowing Nebuchadnezzar to worship him? Well, it sure looks that way. He got thrown into the lion's den. The three Hebrew children, over which he was their leader, they get thrown into the fiery furnace. And this short little look at the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, I hope you can see how very similar that these two books are. The book of Revelation encompasses a whole lot more than the book of Daniel, but the focal points of both these books are the Jewish people living during the time of the Great Tribulation under the rule and reign of Antichrist. And I believe that the book that was opened in Revelation 5 is Daniel's sealed book from Daniel chapter 12. And I believe that the angel, who is actually a prophet like John and one of his brethren, is the prophet Daniel. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for tonight. I hope this Bible study was a blessing to you tonight. We're so glad that you're part of the NTEB family. And Lord willing, we're going to see you back here tomorrow. There is so much crazy news to talk about. And Lord willing, we'll be back here noon tomorrow, Eastern time, for another Prophecy News podcast. Have a great night, everybody.
That should never fill the fire or shiver in the cold. But I did say you'd never walk through this world alone. make this world your home. I never said that fear wouldn't find you in the night, or that loneliness was something you'd never have to fight. But I did say I'd be right there.
Yeah.